I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Danielle Radoichin. Welcome to the fifth of the My Big Idea podcast for ASOS, recorded at London Fashion Week Spring Summer 17. In this episode, I'm talking to set designer and creative director Charlotte Leroux. Charlotte is a founding director and head of Bacchus Studio, a company which produces shows for London Fashion Week and also for the likes of Beyoncé and Rihanna. Between shows, I spoke to Charlotte about her career and what it's like working at London Fashion Week. Here's Charlotte's big idea. Hi, Charlotte.
Hello.
Thanks so much for coming to talk to us for the My Big Idea podcast.
Thank you for inviting me. It's a real pleasure.
So here we are at London Fashion Week in Soho.
Yes, indeed.
And do you want to tell me a bit about what you're doing here?
Yes. Okay. So my agency, Bacchus, is the lead show producer. So we work for the British Fashion Council. We design and build and run and manage the main show space.
And you're one of the founders of Bacchus,
right? I am.
Right?
Yeah. I am. I've been doing this since I was a wee tiny little thing, age 23. And so, yes, we run the show space here. So all of the shows that happen here. We also run the presentation space at the ICA, which is where the Young Emerging Designers show, which is
Fantastic.
Really exciting.
And what does it mean when you say you run the
show
space?
So we design it, we produce it, you know, we build everything that goes into it. And we then obviously work with the designers to facilitate their shows. And designers have very different visions. So, you know, it's not a cookie cutter thing. You really have to kind of understand where they're coming from, what they're inspired by this season, what it is they're trying to convey with their collection, and find ways of working with them, with set, with lighting, with whatever it might be, to enhance that. And
so
give
how does it
them...
work? You sit down with them and talk it through? Do they bring you inspiration, or how does the process work?
Usually the first thing I'll ask a designer for is their mood board, because they will have done a mood board every season for their own collection, you know, the things that inspired them. And then also development, if there's any print development or textile development or... you know, findings, fixtures, anything that they might be using that really derives from that point of inspiration, just understanding what those key elements are. You know, if there's a really important color palette, if there's, you know, any particular story. You know, I've had literally, in terms of inspiration, everything from, you know, the young female photographer Francesca Woodman through to various different artists, through to a novel that someone read, through to a fairy tale and or something their grandmother said to them when they were a kid.
And then your part of your job is to then interpret that into a show space.
And into a production design. So, for example, the show space here we build as a sort of really beautiful white box with the mirrors on the ceiling, which you've probably seen, and these amazing film lights. So, I mean, it's already a very beautiful place. And some of the designers choose to use it as it is. And then other people will come in and we'll work with them to develop an aesthetic, a set build or a lighting design that really transforms it into something, you know, individual for them, which is so exciting because, you know, these guys are so talented. So invariably, whatever they bring to the table with in terms of their inspiration is always really exciting to work with. It means, you know, every season we usually work on 11 or 12 shows a season ourselves, as well as building the space. And that means 11 or 12 different stories we're telling every season, 11 or 12 designs that we're developing every season. I mean, it's brilliant. And they're all so different.
How big's your team?
Big, really big. I think if you count everyone right down to the guys, you know, carrying the heavy stuff up and down the stairs when we're building, I think the team at its biggest is probably about 200 people during Fashion Week. It's huge. Because we have the team here at Brewer Street in the BFC show space, but then we also have various production teams doing our shows off-site in different venues around London.
So we're here at the shows for Spring Summer 17.
Mm-hmm.
What have been your highlights so far?
Oh, I always need a couple of days after Fashion Week for it to kind of filter.
Yeah,
I really do because I see so much and I'm so focused on each one. I actually really loved Udon Choice collection.
Oh yeah, I loved that.
It was so, I love his elegance, his really, really subtly different but very, very distinctive point of view about how to dress a woman. There's those little touches that are really sexy.
Is he one of the designers you worked with?
Yeah. Yeah.
And what did he want in terms of a... What very was his
simple.
Inspiration board like?
Very, very, very simple. It was, as usual with Udon, very, very clean and simple. And there was always that little touch of the sexy schoolgirl. I don't know if you saw the knee socks with
what
the
garters. What were his reference points that he brought to you initially?
Very, very few. It really was that, you know, just this incredibly architectural, simple piece. And for him, it was all about the lighting and getting the lighting right, which was something we focused on.
So just, how early before the show were you working on that with him?
I think we were probably speaking to you, Don, 2-3 months before the show was the first conversation and meeting we had with him.
And what, are you there, were you there for the actual show itself?
Yep, so I do all the show calling.
Whereabouts are you standing?
Usually at front of house.
Right.
With my headset on and my mic.
What happens if there's a major disaster?
That's usually down to me to fix it very, very quickly.
Any examples you care to share?
Not this season. I can't actually remember the last time we had a touch word. God, I shouldn't really even say that. We have managed to circumnavigate most of the things that have popped up before anyone knew about them, put it that way. I have seen things, you know, I've had some fabulous ones which you can't fix. You know, I was in Milan doing a show a handful of years ago, and in June for menswear, in a black tent, as one does in Milan when it's 35 degrees Fahrenheit, and the air conditioning broke on a Sunday in a Catholic country where you can't get anyone to come out and do anything on a Sunday. And that took some really, really, really quick, smart manoeuvring. Because I think it got up to about 50 degrees.
Nice.
No, it was horrible. It was really unpleasant. People were fainting. I mean, it wasn't guests. We got this fixed. We got it fixed before the guests came in. But it was, that was one of those times when you kind of, you look at the project. And I remember thinking to myself, why do I do this? I've probably just knocked a year off my life with this dress.
But then most of the time they go amazingly well. Like the Udon one. And you remember why you do it.
Yeah, I mean, doing, I think that at the end of every season, I look back at this, A, the beautiful work we've done, you know, myself with my team, but then I look at the beautiful work that the designers do, and I look at the landscape of British fashion, and it's fantastic.
What do you think about that in terms of, you know, new names, up-and-comers? Is there anyone that's sort of sticking in your mind at the moment?
Love Molly Goddard. Love what she does. I mean, real youngster, very, very new to the scene.
Yeah.
I love Ashley Williams.
What is it about Molly's clothes that you like?
Whimsy. It's just whimsical. She makes me smile. There's something about her work that just makes me smile.
Do you work with her?
Yeah, we did. We did a presentation for her a couple of seasons ago where she transformed this sort of black box into a sandwich factory. So she had all the girls in these amazing, beautiful, whimsical sort of tulle dresses, and then they were wearing Wellington boots like you would in a food factory and standing at high tables literally making sandwiches with sliced white bread and lettuce
Amazing.
And tomato and in a row, and then the whole space was kind of surrounded by white iridescent shower curtain, and it looked amazing.
Fantastic.
Amazing. It was just one of those, but she's brilliant. I love what she does.
What happens when you know, like a really new designer comes on the scene and they need some help with set design or lighting or the kind of stuff that you get involved with production? Do you help them? Are there ways that they can, you know, do you lower your rates for them? Or
I think what we do is we try to support them. I think it's not so much about lowering rates. I'm a big believer that when, you know, when anyone, any business, any youngster, any designer, whoever it might be in business, engages with something like doing a show, that you shouldn't, I think there's something almost a little bit patronizing about saying you're new, so we're going to, you know, give you a discount. Mm-hmm. What we try to do instead is look at their budgets and say, okay, so let's work really cleverly with this. And then I think it comes down to coming up with a brilliant creative, and it doesn't have to be something that costs tens of thousands of pounds. You know, that little sandwich factory did not have a big budget attached to it, but it was so visually impactful and memorable. You know, and it really, it's the simple things like that. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where you support a young designer, is saying, don't panic, let's put our thinking hats on and come up with something original. And there's a lot of hand-holding, because, you know, doing it, there's a science to doing a show. And it's something it's really important for the designers to engage with. So with the guys really who are showing for the first time, there's that kind of, it's not educating them, it's just kind of explaining how all these elements mesh together and how it's important to engage with them.
So how did you get into this kind of work?
So I have sort of worked in fashion in one way or another since forever. And I worked in Paris for a big brand there.
What was the brand?
Thierry Mugler. And was working on shows there as a baby, like 20, 21. And then came back and I was working for Condé Nast. And my boss at Condé Nast said, you are too much of a rebel. You're unemployable. You'll spend your whole life getting fired. And you should go and set up on your own. And I was...
Wow.
Yeah. I was I was 23 and I was devastated. And I thought, oh my God, I'm never going to have a job. And then I met my now business partner, Anushka Menzies. And we started the agency. And I am so grateful to the person who gave me that advice. He is a genius and he made a huge difference.
Still friends with him.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I thank him every time I see him. But it was the best advice I've ever been given.
Yeah.
It really was. But I think you're fearless at 23.
Right.
You know.
And for somebody who might be wanting to get into this kind of work, what's your advice?
You need to, your job satisfaction needs to have a kind of pause button on it, because you do a huge amount of work and that satisfaction comes for a split second when the show happens. That's when it comes. Mm-hmm. And you need to have thick skin. You need to be unbelievably committed.
Do you think you need to have studied fashion or be in the creative industries? I'm just thinking like people who literally coming out of school or college.
I think I think creativity is really important. So I think having done some form of education in, you know, it could be even fine art history, it doesn't matter, but just so that you've, it's really helpful to have built up a kind of visual frame of reference and to have a bit of a visual vocabulary to refer to, because it's something you talk about so much with the designers. It's good to have a bit of a grounding in that, but you don't have to have done that in school. It's something you can do yourself just simply by reading a good broad spectrum of books and magazines and going to good exhibitions and galleries and just informing yourself. Mm-hmm. You need to have a passion for this job though, because it is really, really hard work.
And do you employ interns?
Yes.
How does somebody approach you? What's the
They can do it through the email on our website. That's how most interns do. And then it will get sent to the right person or department, depending on what that person's studying, what they're interested in. But yeah, no, we love having... I have a number of people on my team here in very serious management positions. Our head of designer liaison, our backstage director, both of them started as interns with me. And they're in seriously grown-up positions now.
Wow,
and
so
brilliant.
You like to promote internally.
Love to promote. Listen, when I've put a load of time into teaching someone, I'd much rather they stayed with me.
That's
Do you know
true,
what I mean?
Yeah, and makes total sense.
You know, sometimes they need to fly the coop, obviously, and I always weep. You know, absolutely hate it when the good ones go, but, you know, sometimes they do.
And before we finish, I need to ask you, because I've saw that you also produced shows for people like Beyonce, Rihanna, Jay-Z, some really big names.
Yeah.
What's it like doing something like that for Beyonce?
Working with Beyonce is one of the most extraordinary, wonderful, beautiful, enjoyable experiences.
First, what was it? What was the actual piece that you were doing
for
her?
It was a one-night event. We don't tour or anything, so the concerts and music pieces that we tend to do tend to be one-night special concerts. So for Beyonce, she headlined at Glastonbury, and she was launching her album 4, and she she decided to do a secret gig in London, and it was... Basically, the audience was one half megastars. So it was Jay-Z and Chris Martin and Gwyneth Paltrow and Adele. And I mean, literally every massive name you can think of was in the Shepherd's Bush Empire. And then the other 1,500 people were tickets that were given away on the day to fans who called in free, which I thought was amazing. So these kids who got tickets were all, you know, in the stalls part of the Shepherd's Bush Empire looking up. And before the show, while they were waiting for the show to come on, they had... You know, Jay-Z and Gwyneth and all these amazing people, you know, doing selfies with the crowd behind them and throwing little signed notes down to the... I mean, it was amazing.
Did she have a lot of involvement in the in the production with you beforehand?
Yeah, no, she does. And she has an amazing team as well. I mean, they are, you know, her lighting designer is incredible.
What kind of direction did they give you?
Very, very simple. They said, look at what we've just done at Glastonbury. And I was like, okay, pyramid stage, vast, Shepherd's Bush Empire, tiny.
Yeah.
we're going to have to interpret here, because I think they kind of had an idea that they might be able to just roll that set into a space that was about a fifth of the size, which clearly wasn't going to happen. So we had to work on, and it wasn't just the set and the lighting, it was also how they were staging the show, because, you know, there wasn't space to put her full band up. There wasn't space to have 16 dancers and backing singers. There just wasn't space.
Right.
Yeah, it's a really small, intimate venue. But she was incredible. Incredible. She is just the most courteous, polite, gracious, professional, wonderful person to work with.
Amazing.
And she did a show and blew everyone away. I mean, it was extraordinary.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming and talking to us. What else have you got on for the rest of the
fashion week? I'm literally whizzing away from here, back into the show space to do a run through for David Comer. And then we're doing his show at 5, so in a couple of hours. You should come and watch that.
Yes, I'd love
to. And then we've got that today, and then a handful of shows tomorrow. My mind is going completely blank as to what's on our schedule. I know we've got Osmond tomorrow at a venue away from here, and then we've got Toga's show at the Truman Brewery on Tuesday, and a presentation for Issa Arfen, and various shows happening here. And yeah, busy. It's really busy.
Issa Arfen's amazing.
Love
the stuff.
They're in the same building as us as well, so it's really easy doing creative meetings. Just run up the stairs, which is really useful. Yeah.
Brilliant. Okay, well, thank you so much.
You're
been a real
so
pleasure.
Welcome. Thank you for having me.
Enjoy the rest of Fashion Week.
Yeah, you too.
That was Charlotte Leroux talking to me at London Fashion Week. Don't forget to download previous episodes of My Big Idea for more advice on building a career in the fashion industry. And you should also check out the ASOS Magazine fortnightly podcast, These Four Walls. I'm Danielle Radoitchen. Thanks for listening. Bye.